recording? Sorry. I feel like an idiot. I went in. I'm like, okay, let me get it playing for you. She's like, you said to press a button. I'm like, oh.
It's the one that most of us know because you open up with Psukei de Zimra, Hodula Hashem Kitov, right? Etc., etc. To Halel on Rosh Chodesh, and you know all of that. What you don't know is perhaps the fact that Tehillim includes in it some of the most difficult struggles expressed in poetry that a human being has in wrestling with God and reality. Before there was a book of Job canonized into the Tanakh, there were Tehillim that actually expressed anguish. That's why it's also called Tfilot. Those prayers are not merely asking for something. They were sometimes about... Palol can mean, in fact, a wrestling, a wrangling with God. You need to know that Yaakov Avinu did not become Yisrael until he didn't wrestle with the angel. And a Jew doesn't start with a position of faith. Most of us don't even know what faith means at all. The word faith or emuna is easy. Most of us do something completely different. We conform. We look around our shoulders. We're raised in a particular way. We fit in. And we sort of like follow along whatever our reference group is. That's what it's about. Not only does God have a precious little to do with it sometimes, but even if he does have something to do with it, he has something to do with it in a very distant way. We dress a certain way, we behave a certain way, we follow a certain way, because frankly that's the way we grew up, and that's what my parents did. And if you weren't born that way, and you came to it, you were following what everybody else is doing. So we do this all the time. Faith is something that Jews come to only when they reach Mima Makim, out of the depths. You got to fall a little bit. And when you fall and you falter and you struggle with what is and with the unfairness of life, it is then perhaps that you can finally come and face God face to face. And maybe reach something called emunah. That is what this is about. You will please notice that there is no ktovet to this mizmor. A ktovet is usually the top part. It is not actually part of the body of a mizmor. It usually tells you who the author is, or what the subject is, or who it's dedicated to. So you can say mizmor le David, mizmor shir Chanukah sabayis. It can do that kind of thing. This one doesn't have it. Rashi tells us at the 90th Mizmor that 90 through 101 is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. To Moshe Rabbeinu. It begins with Tfilah le Moshe Isha Elohim. And it's the 90th and the 91st that we usually say at a deathbed and at a funeral. We do. And I can tell you that my mother, when she was dying, my mother could no longer speak as a result of Parkinson's. We said vidui with her a number of times, and the only thing that she mumbled, because my mother knew Tehillim by heart, and my mother spoke Ivrit, and my mother treated each one of those words as a pearl. Tfilah le Moshe Isha Elohim Adonai Ma'on Atah Hayita Lanu B'dor V'dor. That's the way she spoke. That's the way my mother davened, word for word. This one is a troubling one, and it is the Mizmor of Shir Shel Yom of Wednesdays, the middle day. We got an odd numbered week, 7, right? And the middle one is this one, Tzadik Dalit. So according to Rashi, this is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and appropriately so, because Chazal tell us, and of course the Torah tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu rose up and went up to the top of the mountain. the second time around, and he turned to God and he said, Horeini na darkecha, show me your ways. And Chazal said that what he asked for was tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tov lo lama. Good people are suffering. Bad people are getting away with murder. Why? And God answered him, ki lo yireni adam v'chai. No human being can see me and understand both aspects and still remain alive. This is an answer that we will not have, but it is a question that must be asked. And sadly, much of our chinuch is about mitunisht fragen. You're not allowed to ask. Schweig. Scheigetz. Apikoiris. You're not allowed to ask those questions. You cannot be a Jew if you don't ask those questions. You cannot reach emunah if you don't struggle with God. It doesn't matter to you if it doesn't hurt you. So it has to hurt. That's what this mizmor is. I divided the mizmor following my narish seichel, and I was then delighted to find out that I finally learned how to learn properly, because that's the way the Malbim actually divides it. You will soon see that there is a switching and turning of voices. There are lines, it's almost as if somebody says, can't keep your tenses consistent. Sometimes second person, sometimes third person. As a result, you will understand that there is more than one, it's not a dialogue. Is there a thing called a trialogue? I talk to you, and then I talk to him, I talk to him, I talk to him, I talk to you.
Yeah.
No, there's no conversation, because that would imply that the other person is talking to and he isn't. Oh. So it's like, I'm talking to you, then I turn to him. Then I turn to you again. You understand? We're going to talk. And in between,
dialogue.
I turn.
Alternating dialogue?
It really isn't, because the reason I want to call it trialogue is that the others are witness to my talking here. Okay. Literally. I'm using the word trialogue for lack of... If die means two, then... Try means three, okay? Except that there's only one voice, one mouth talking here. Kel nekamot Hashem. Kel nekamot Hofia. I want to open up, first of all, by pointing out that there were photos taken after the war, and in some of the gas chambers, written in blood, were the words, Eden nekome. Jews, vengeance. Okay? Vengeance is holy. Chazal said, it's not me, it's in the Gemara. Because, they say, the name Nekomas, vengeances, is written between two names of Hashem. Kel Nekamot Hashem. Kel Nekamot Ophiah. A modern scholar, not a Jewish one, Daoud, argues that Hofia is future tense. It's past tense. Hu Hofia? He appeared. And that this is about somebody who already saw God appearing and taking vengeance. I think the rest of the poem will belie it. Adak on the spot says it is Atid, written in the form of Avar. It's even though there's no Vava Ma'apechet, it really means here's what you should do. And it is not quite a form of the imperative. It is not sivui. You would say hofa. But it is something between commanding God and begging him to do so. And therefore it says, may the God of vengeance appear. And you should actually appear. In other words, not future tense, but enough already. Where are you hiding? Hinase shofet haaretz. Rise up, judge of the earth. And rises up, goes up to his seat. Hashev gmul al geim. Pay back the reward to the proud and the arrogant. Now, what does this mizmor do? This mizmor, and it's not the only one. The most famous is the 73rd Mizmor, which is known as Iyov HaKatan, the little Job, This one is no less powerful because it's a Shir Shel Yom. This one doesn't only ask, why are good people suffering? It's how long will God's forbearance, his erech apayim, the fact that he's slow to anger, withstand and allow evil to flourish? What more must happen before he appears to indicate that this cannot be? This cannot be. And that's what he's asking for. Like other mizmorim, Ad matai reshaim Hashem? Until when, reshoim, evildoers, evil people, Hashem? And notice how he gets stuck. Right? Ad matai what? Ad matai reshaim ya'alozu? How long will they? And the word that is used is ya'alozu. Aliz. Rabbi Shimshon Rifael Hirsch says that aliz and alatz are similar, and it doesn't just mean aliza gay, happy. They walk around laughing, but it is also an ironic play. There's a concept called loaz. Ya'alozu loaz. Now, am loaz. Loez, Chazal say, is an acronym for Lashon Am Zar. Refers to something that is the language of an alien nation. And it means, by the way, if you would speak in modern Ivrit, Loazit means a foreign language. Right? So there's Ivrit, and then there's Loazit. And then you say, which Loazit do you mean? English, French, Russian, which one do you mean? But Lohotzi La'az is to spread libel. So la'az, zayin and gimel are transposed, is similar to the word la'ag. La'ag means mockery. And la'az is not just mockery because it's got teeth to it. It is worse than scorn. It is libel. It is libel. It is what anti-Semitic propaganda does. That's what la'az is. So ya'alozu is a strange way. How long will they be happy, carefree? They let that talk. And on the other hand, how long will you let them? There's a double entendre here. How long will you let them spread their libel? Scorn is nothing, because scorn, I can treat you with contempt. That's scorn. But to say that you are evil, to say that you're the spawn of the devil, to say what the Shtumel said for so many years, and which unfortunately the left wing press, I won't even mention what happens in Arab countries, say, is laz. Yabiu yedabru atak. They express, they speak. Attack. Now, attack really means harsh words. You'll forgive me. Attack means something that comes out of your throat, out of the belly. Like if you have something stuck in your throat, you know, when you have a cold and you have a lot of phlegm, you got to get it out. That's what attack is. They spit out, what would you call that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Guttural sound.
It's worse than a guttural sound. Guttural is nachgonisht. It's like what you do in the morning when you got to get that stuff up out. Do you understand? When you have, that's what it means. That's what they spit out. Yit'amru kol po'alei aven. Now, notice how you have three words for talking. Yabiu, yidabru, amar. But the word yit'amru is very strange because it's itpa'el, it's a reflexive verb, and the word is amira. So amira normally means to say, right, to speak. Ve'ani amarti, and I said. And if it doesn't say to whom I said, it means I thought. But we have in our liturgy of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, anachnu ma'amirecha, Ve'ata ma'amireinu. It means affirm. Now, yitamru means you affirm yourself. I'm okay. I'm all right. That's what it means, amira. It means to affirm. So when it says that we are God's ma'amirim and he is ours, he calls us by name and we call him by name. It's like, I know you exist, and in your eyes you affirm me. You tell me I exist. You call me by name. Yit amru, they affirm themselves. Who? Kol po'alei aven. All those who work, do aven. Now I want to talk about that for a moment. I wish I had a blackboard here, but I don't. So imagine this is a blackboard. Aven is not avon, even though it's often translated. And somebody here has a translation. They sometimes treat all those who do. What do they say?
It's wickedness.
Wickedness, sin. Okay. An aven comes from the root ein. It isn't. It's a no-no. An aven is a no-no. And it's not an avon, which is a sin. An avon means that there's a law, and you violated the law. That's with an ayin. An aven, there's no law. But it's something vusipasnisht. You know what it is? It's throwing your gun out of the car window. It's walking down the hallway and seeing something on the floor and not picking it up. It doesn't have to be written in code as law. It's something that a human being, that's a mensch, doesn't do. Now, on means strength. It means a misuse of one's strength. I can do it because I can get away with it. Or I won't do it because I can get away with not doing it. So I'll throw it on the floor and nobody will know who it was, and therefore I can get away with it. It's a misuse of on, of koach. And what do they do? We can do it. We can. We got away with it. That's what they say. And you know why they did? Hitler's number one issue was that he knew that he could get away with it, was because what happened to the Armenians? The Turks haven't owned up to it to this day. Did they get away with it? Yes. Darn tootin' they did. He then went and sent the St. Louis and did this. Let me watch it. Let me see. And guess what happened? They turned it back. What did he have now? Proof. Affirmation. Nobody else wants them. I can murder them and I can get away with it. The maps went out of every railway to every camp. What did the Allies do? Nothing. Yit amru kol po'alei aven. We can get away with this. They don't want anybody to know. They don't care. And we have full affirmation of it. Yit amru kol po'alei aven. How long? How long will they be able to do that? And that's the problem, is that they do. Now, by the way, there were the Nuremberg trials. Whoopee-doo. How many were brought to justice? How many? Can't count it on one hand. Yeah, this one managed to kill me. Hung up a few. Gamaunu. One of the big arguments between the Soviets and the rest of the Allies was that they wanted them all shot summarily in a military court, no questions asked. Because that was Stalin's style anyway, you understand? And you almost wonder, wouldn't that have that been better? Instead, what did they do? They denazified Nazis. You remember the whole scandal with the Austrian prime minister and president? Come on. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it didn't succeed. It was better to have them in the picture than without the picture. Everybody had their cheshbon. And therefore, what can they do? Amcha Hashem Yidaku. Your people, God, they ledakot, press down. Unachalatcha yanu, and your portion they torture. Because we're Hashem's nachala. He's the one that chose us. We're his lot. They torture us. Almana v'ger yaharogu. They kill the widow. And remember, why is he evoking this? Big deal. Only widows. It was precisely the Torah that said, "If do not hurt the ger, the almana, the yatom." Ki shamoa eshma tzakato. Because if I only hear his scream, then what will I do? What does the Torah say? Then I will make their wives into widows and their children into orphans. V'yetomim yiratzechu, and they murder orphans. V'yomru, and they say, lo yireya, God does not see. V'lo yavin Elohei Yaakov, and he does not understand. In other words, even if there is a creator, he don't give a damn. Mm-hmm.
This is very appropriate to the period after the Shoah, but you said that Moshe wrote it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Moshe was shown, when he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael in the last month of his life, you remember he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem told him he couldn't. He told him to go up to Har Nebo, remember?
Yeah.
And he told him that he saw Misof HaOlam at Sof HaOlam. He not only saw Eretz Yisrael midan ve'ad Be'er Sheva. That's not what he saw. He saw all history compressed like an accordion. I need you to understand, you're saying it's appropriate after the Shoah. It's not appropriate after 1648, 1649 with Khmelnytsky. And it's not appropriate after what?
Why?
And it's not appropriate after every incident that occurs in Eretz Yisrael. It's not appropriate.
Yes, but why?
Who is it not appropriate to? Has there been a generation in our history that it's not been appropriate to?
So Moshe wrote it because he saw for the future.
Of course. If I take the position that it's written by Moshe, which is Rashi's position, you notice that it remains anonymous. Now remember, there were lots of tehillot and lots of poems and lots of sifrei nevuah that are never included. So our sages chose what to include or not to include in the Tanakh based on matzrichim ledorot. In 200, about 200 AD, when the Tanakh was canonized, the question number one question on Anshei Knesset HaGdolah is this needed for future generations? Was it true when they were under the thumb of the Romans?
Yeah,
absolutely. Was it true when they were under the thumb of the Rebbe? When is it not true? Up until now, who did we talk to? Who was this section to? Come on. Who's talking to whom? It is an advocate of Am Yisrael turning to God and saying, how long will you hide your countenance? Right? It's an advocate who's talking for Am Yisrael. And the issue is, they say, who is the they? Now we also have a dispute amongst the Mefarshim. Is this about oppression from without? Goyim against us. Is this oppression from within? We've had our own tyrants. Is this what we do to our own people? Do we have our own Rishoyim? Do we have our own Poalei Aven? The answer is yeah. Poalei Aven is people who do no-nos. Never mind if it's legal or illegal. It's that if somebody were moral, he wouldn't do it. Okay? Binu boarim ba'am. By the way, in case you didn't pick up, did you see how much he loves alliteration? Did you see that? Almana ve'ger yaharogu. See, rhyming in Hebrew is much, much too easy. So our great poets were not particularly impressed with rhyme because we have suffixes to our words, right? Alachti, ashanti, shamarti, I could make anything rhyme. It's no big deal. Rhyming is much, much too easy. If every feminine noun ends with ah, everything can rhyme. They're much more interested in that alliterative. Binu boharimba. Binu. Vashtet. Talk. Listen. Understand. Boharim be'ar. Be'irim are behemoths. And ish be'ar lo yeda, uchsi lo yavin etzot. It means an ignoramus. Somebody who, you'll forgive me, when I say he's a behemoth, be'ir, leave all means actually burning. It's somebody who eats defecates, sleeps, fornicates, lives in the moment, and knows nothing. There are people like that who live the life of behemoths. The behemoth eats not knowing that he's fattening himself up for the slaughter. And there's people who live this way. They look neither to the past nor to the future. And he's now, after talking to God, he now turns to his people. Binu bo'arim ba'am. Listen, understand this. The stupid, the ignoramuses amongst my people. Uksilim. Fools, says the Malbim, that Exil knows. He knows, but he can't let go of his tivus. He knows what the consequences are going to be. He can see the past and the future. He can learn from it. But right now, I want what I want now. And to heck with it. That's a Exil. That's a fool. Matai taskilu. When are you going to finally come to the Seichel? Why? It's not merely that the Goyim said, where's your God now as they led you into the gas chamber? It was the Jew that also said, where's God now? His concern is not what they say, it's what it's done to us. What it's done to us is that many of us came to the conclusion that there's one of the two. Either God doesn't care, or God is cruel and capricious, or he doesn't exist. And that was the hope. People came out of the camps. Avizel, where is it? How could it be? Binu bo'arim ba'am, uksilim batai yoskilu, hanuta osen halo yushma. The same one that planted you an ear, will he not hear? Im yotzer ayin, he made you your eyes. Halo yabit. If he made you eyes, then he surely also looks. Hayoser golim, the same one that yoser means literally yesurim, that gives pain and suffering to nations. Halo yochiach, he will yet prove. And what will he do? Hamelamed Adam Dart. He teaches man. So it is conceivable that I can explain and justify suffering. How so? I can ask Madua and therefore look in the past. Right? You get a diagnosis, it's cancer, and you can ask stupid questions like, why me? Like, why not you? What do you mean, why me? But the first question was, and we always do this, oh, cancer? Did she smoke? You know why? Because then it makes sense. She deserves it, doesn't she? Because if she smoked, she has it coming. Because now I have cause and effect. So we look back. Why did this happen? We didn't keep Shabbos, I didn't do this, we had Sinas Chinam. Notice, that's called Madua. Madua is looking backwards. What led to this? And sometimes you can have an answer. If a person has Yisurim, he's supposed to look inside and say, what did I do wrong? But not just so that you can beat up on yourself, but maybe you can learn from it. Right? Because the idea is that if this is leading to a bad consequence, you should now be able to perhaps change your behavior. Or others maybe will learn from you and change the behavior. But there's another reason, and that is the question in Hebrew. We have two questions for the word why. One of them is madua, and the other one is lama. And lama means leshema. For what purpose, to what end? I have this. What am I supposed to do with it? It doesn't go and dig there. It says, okay, ze amatzav. This is the current situation. Where do I go from here? And that's what's called lehochiach. You understand? I reprove you and I prove to you. Hashem yodea machshavot adam. God knows our thoughts. ki heima hevel, that they are mere, and it translated usually as vanity, because they didn't know. Hevel really means this, harer. You can feel it, but you can't grasp it. On the contrary, ashrei hagever asher tiyasrem noya. Happy is the man that you have made him suffer. Why? Because I can take that suffering and I can sit there and feel sorry for myself, or else I can take that suffering and turn it into da'at, knowledge. I can turn it into compassion. I can turn it into tenderness. I can turn it into empathy. And therefore, umitoratcha telamdenu. And that's how one learns from the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. It becomes what we call the lessons of experience. And one can take something marvelous out of this. Therefore, he also thinks that sometimes... Yes, somebody wants to ask a question.
I just wanted to get your opinion by the word da'at, and it starts with bino. I would
can't
think
hear.
That bino
yeah,
is a much deeper understanding, and da'at is more...
Biderech klal you hear. How does it go?
I would think that it would actually...
What is the normal way that we think of it? Think of the order.
I would think da'at comes first.
And yet they say chokma, bina,
v'da'at.
Okay? Da'at is not rational knowledge. And binu means lilmod davar mitoch davar, to deduce, or induction as well. It can both ways. Okay? It's drawing conclusions from what you've, from other things. Correct? Da'at is also used in the following fashion, and I want you to understand this for a moment. V'ha'adam yada et chava ishto. Rak etchem yadati mikol ha'amin. God didn't know the other nations. It means love, but I want you to understand why. That is knowledge that's transformative. You understand that word transforming? Okay, now I'm explaining. If I learn something and it becomes part of me, the thing that I learned remains independent of me. But now it's become part of me. It's in here. And because it becomes part of me, it's synthesized with my being, with my persona, with my personality, with my feelings. And as a result, I am no longer the same. Ka'et ani yodat. Now I know. When I love someone, I not only want to give them, but if they are really important in my life, and that's why the Torah uses it, and by the way, it doesn't use it as a euphemism merely for carnal knowledge. It means that I'm not the same person that I was before I knew this person. Now, remember, we're not amoebas. An amoeba swallows something else, and the other thing becomes part of it. The object of one's knowledge, if it's another human being, he remains independent. So Chava is Chava and Adam is Adam. You understand, they're two separate people. But in knowing one another, he's not the same person before she came into his life. She's not the same person. That's called Da'at. Now, you can deduce, but you're not necessarily that kind of knowledge that's transformative. So the term that's being used here is, there's chokhmah, bina, and then comes da'at. You get that? Da'at is not merely rational. It's holistic. It means you get it, and you get it with your head, and you get it with your heart, and you get it with your kishkas. You got it? That's what it really means. And that's why it really goes in this direction. It's you can't translate it. You can't translate it because the terms that we use are so different. You understand? The word knowledge that we think of is simply facts. Then you deduce from the facts, and that's understanding. And when we think of as the word wisdom, we think of what we would call that, the transformation of all of that into a person of wisdom. You get that? Okay.
Beautiful interpretation.
Yeah. God, Ashrei Ha'ish, Agever Asher Teyasrenu, yeah. He's a happy man, that man. Or Osher means he's affirmed. You matter. Because this experience of life is not about being out in pasture and eating and defecating and so on. Believe it or not, the Torah does not affirm what the Constitution does. The American Constitution says that all of us have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Torah affirms, and that part our founding fathers did get out of the Hebrew Bible, of life and liberty. Pursuit of happiness is for cows. Happiness is overrated. This is about growth. We are living all of our lives, I just want my children to be happy. Heck with happiness. I hate to say this word because I know it's politically incorrect. Retarded people are very happy. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand, if you don't know, if you're mentally defective, you're very happy. As long as you got what you need and you're comforted, you're fine. You don't understand, you don't know where things are going, you don't see the past, you don't see the future, you're fine. You're happy. Okay? Don't worry. Be happy. And by the way, we go through our lives, right? Marriage. Am I happy? Learning, growing. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Can you, or should we accept, or can we accept, Ashrei HaGever Asher Is Yasreinu Hashem? Can you, we accept Osher and Yisurim?
Because you're thinking of Osher as laying on the beach, in a perfect day, exactly 80 degrees, just enough for a tan, not too hot, I'm not sweating, a beautiful sun breeze, that's Osher. What's Osher? Maze Osher. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecho. Is it happy? Give me a word. I know that in modern Hebrew we use Osher, the Osher. Our Osher with Aleph is happy. Osher means... What you take to the bank. I know my time is almost up.
Five minutes.
Oh, God. Okay.
Well, Yisurim Be'ava.
No, he's saying, don't you understand? The word is affirming. If I did, God didn't give a darn about me, he wouldn't be doing this to me. Because this is meant for your growth. Le'asher, I am certified, I am affirmed. And why? He has a thing. Le'hashkit lo miyemei ra. He is going to, in other words, you pay it off here so that later on there, and there is an allusion here to another world. You're going to go through the shlecht so that at the end you get good, as opposed to ad yikare l'rasha shachad, until the Roshe has a chance lichot, to dig himself a grave into hell. In other words, we go through this as a way of growth, whereas the Roshe happily is digging his way to hell. That's essentially what he's saying here. And why? And by the way, there's a boo-boo here. There should be. It's two separate words. Ki lo yitosh Hashem emo. God will not abandon his people. V'nachalato lo yazov. And he will not. Remember how you use the word am and nachala? And he will not leave us. Ki ad tzedek yashuv mishpat. Just judgment, mishpat, will keep following until there is finally... Tzedek. And tzedek is not merely the letter of the law. Tzedek is the law tempered with a deeper understanding of one's psyche. And who will follow by the time tzedek comes along? Acharav kol yishrei lev. All the honest of heart. Goyim or Eden. Those that did what was right, follow their initial sense of what is right or wrong. They will follow along. Now, this section argues that our suffering is not without meaning. I refer you, I'm sitting here on Spilkas. Frankl's book, The Search for
Meaning.
Those who understood that what's happening is not an accident, and it's not because I was abandoned, that there is a price. Now, we don't understand it because we don't know the emes. And the reason we don't know the emes is that the word emes itself is composed of three letters. Aleph, first letter. Taf, the last letter. Ani Rishon. Ve'ani Acharon. And the middle letter. We're stuck in the middle. We don't know what came before us. And I don't mean only my Bobby, my Zayde. I am talking about a previous lifetime where your neshama was. You don't know what comes after us. You're left to operate in a world maneuvering with the middle through a keyhole. Doing what you're told and at the same time not having any sense of the whole picture. But those of us who not only saw Shoah but also saw Tkuma, those who saw that in spite of everything, there are children named for those Soales and Avrei Malak and Moshalach. Those of us who don't understand where our neshama goes, but can look and suddenly see, then what's Nekome? Who prevails? Who's still here? In addition, there's another issue about Ashrei Ha'ish. In his book, excuse me, Harav Lau, if you haven't read it, read
yes,
it.
I did.
Also the other one. And I've also read Naftali Lau's book, Am Kilabi.
Yeah,
he describes an incredible scenario, and I have to share this with you, okay, because we're Gilach Sidim, and he came from that kind of background as well. So when he and Naftali ended up finally in Eretz Yisrael and ended up in a DP camp, you know, where the Brits took them to, right? And then finally they managed to get out of there because they had Mishpucha, and a distant uncle and so on and so forth. The issue was that Naftali now was an age about going into yeshiva. I mean, all his years were interrupted. What yeshiva should he go to? He ended up going to Kol Torah, where Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyelbach was the Rosh Yeshiva. But he went to ask the question of the Beis Yisrael, who was the Ger Rebbe, because his family came from the same, they were saying, while he was called the Pieter Keruv, you need to understand that. So he describes a beautiful scene in which Naftali showed up with the short sleeves and shorts, and you know, not with a line rekel and a gartel, and you know, he didn't know if he should approach or not approach the Rebbe, and somebody said that that is the son of Moshe Chaim Lau, and immediately he was scurried to him, and he then said, I want to take a walk with you. Now, I was young enough to see the Rebbe used to take these incredible power walks every morning and every evening. So he went out for a walk with him, and he walks with him, and the Rebbe is sort of like going like this across the street in this way, and going diagonally this way, and every few minutes he grabs him by the lapels, and he turns to him, and he says, so you saw it? He says, what? You saw the chimneys? You know what went up the chimneys? He says, yeah. Runs across again. You heard or you saw what went into the furnaces? He says, I saw. And then he says, and you, while you were seeing this, did you see God standing next to you? And at that point, Naftali burst out crying. Imo anochi betzara. I'm there too. I'm suffering. Do you know why we suffer? Ki anachnu am Hashem v'nachalato. Because we're the people of God and His lot. This is not a war against us. This is a war against the God that's with us. The Christians managed to crucify him once, and they've been doing it for 3,000 years. That's who's being crucified. And therefore now he turns again. Mi yakum li im reim? Mi yitzev li im po'alei aven? Who will stand with me? Who will fight with me against these people? And he challenges his nation. We can make a difference. we can make a different world. But lulei Hashem ezratali, if God had not helped me, kimat, I was that close. Shachna duma nafshi, my soul would have lay down and died silently. All right, you get to the rest of it, you'll do it. Our time is up. They want me out of here.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. Lunch is served in the social hall.
Wonderful as always.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Yes, please. I for those who want to eat, okay, if you can hold out for 15 minutes, yeah. That's right.
And it was so powerful to just know that we are continuing in the generation. No matter what happens, we always have to think about the next generation.
That's exactly right. But it's not done without a struggle.
Right.
It's not done without wrestling. Yaakov does not turn into Yisrael until he doesn't wrestle with God. And he leaves it limping. But that is our challenge. I do want to point out to you, for those of you that did not hear, that on Tuesday night at the Illinois Holocaust Museum, TI is sponsoring Rav Neugershall and Rav Nosson Sherman, who will be talking about faith after
there
the fury.
In the morning. Right.
There will be in the morning a session for educators and for parents, which will be workshops about how to talk to your kids. But the evening is the one that is open to the general public. So if you're a teacher, even in a public school, you can come for free in the mornings, but otherwise it's worth coming to.
If you retired.
That's the one. That's
this
the one.
Was, this is her. I know she's going to be dismissed in 2 months. This is
she's living where, in New York?
No. Yes, but when we were in Israel for Pesach, she arranged a training program with this girl from an Amit institution. It's called
Or Akiva.
Or Akiva.
Ah, she made it together.
Yes, Hannah Senef. And this is the whole album. And that's her. And
that's her.
Right.
That's her. That's the one I know.
That's the principal of the Hannah Senef. Yes. So that was very meaningful.
Very meaningful.
Yes.
Hey, so this was during Pesach time?
No, it was right after Pesach, actually.
Divanti.
We were in Israel. Here, Happy Penisarina. And she's called Nicole. My mother, her Hebrew name is Tila Hannah.
Uh-huh.
Tila after her mother. Did you know Mrs. Hannah and Nina Bellows? Yes. Her Hebrew name is Hannah.
Okay.
So she is called Tila Hannah.
Beautiful. And where is this? Clearly, that's at the place.
Yeah, that's Hannah. And Karina, husband, that's me. And this is my two, do you know the Fremer families?
Yes, I know of them.
That's
Dov
Fremer,
yes.
Who is a top lawyer. He was a candidate to be a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Shane Fremer, and he lives in Kassava, so he came with his daughter and granddaughter.
Yeah,
and he's from Yerushalayim.
Amen. I don't know how you stop this thing. You know
now,
what?
Rabbi Lau is
his uncle was the Rav Mordechai Fogelman of Kiryat Motzkin.
נכון.
ואנחנו גם, אנחנו יסדנו את קריית שמואל, אני לא יודעת אם את יודעת.
כן.
ההורים שלי וחבריים, יסדנו את קריית שמואל, הקריה הדתית הציונית היחידה בחריות. כן. יש לך קריית מוצקין.
כולם היו הרי סמלנים כמה ששייך בדיוק, כולם היו קומוניסטים.
זה מה שאני אומרת. והבת של הרב פוגלמן, הפרופסור לאה נעמי פוגלמן, היא חברה שלי עד היום הזה.
ברצינות.
וכל מה שדיברת אני מבקרת אותה. אבל אני רוצה להגיד לך שאנחנו לחמנו על הקמת הקריה, עמדנו בבריקדות, כי כל הקריות כאן אנשים רצו ללכת לים, וללכת לים זה דרך הקריה. עמדנו בבריקדות, חסרנו אותם, ואחר כך הקמנו של עצמי הגיר, וכל זה אנחנו ממש יסדנו בפריבה דתית ציונית, קריית שמואל. וכשמישהו שאל אותי מאין אני לא אומרת מירושלים, אני אומרת...
אני גם מכירה שמואל, בדיוק.
אני רוצה שהם ידעו על זה,
כמובן. תודה רבה.
Thank you so much. No, never.